watch it, because I don't know, but that was then, you know, that was the phase of, even technically as like my, as an actor, I was in a different place. I knew less. I know more now. If I had to watch it now, Smash, I'd be judging myself and be like, ah, look at you. but yeah, Necktie Youth was crazy because I just came out of school. I did 2 years at the lab, the Market Theatre Lab in Newtown. So I'd done a commercial that year or the year before. So that was my first time on set. I was like, ah, this is nice. The food was the number one for me. the first time I saw peach chutney, dog. Chutney has flavors. I like this guy. I don't mind this guy. And the next time Youth came out, Sibs and I were talking. The film developed from a short film, it was called Territorial Pissing, and it was like a short film that I had like a little role in. And that short film won an international film festival, and he got funded to make like the big feature. And then he kind of changed something around with the story, and it pointed to me as the lead somehow. And then we worked on it, dude, and that was surreal because I was still in that short film, like, guerrilla mindset, like, we're shooting it with a camera with boys on Saturday. And that's pretty much how we shot Necktie Youth, but it really took us there. So, yeah, that was very, a very interesting journey, but, you know, comparing now to then, yeah.
Do you think the older we get, the more critical we are of our craft? And you can just speak, I mean, you touched on it about what you did in the feature film, right? But do you think it's like, because you have acquired the skills, upskilled yourself, gotten life experience, you know your voice, it's like now you know what you represent and what you want to be remembered for. Do you think we are a little bit hard on our younger selves as creative?
Yeah, absolutely, we are, Doug. I think the thing an artist realizes that everything comes with an accumulation of wisdom, time. I'm speaking specifically about an artist, or a creative. You only get more creative over time. So I think patience with yourself is a really important thing. But I mean, we all have that energy when we want something, especially when we're young and we feel like things are attainable and it looks like you can do it and you can make it and you go for it. So, yeah. It's like the natural thing, dude. When you plant a seed, it takes a while to surface, to grow, for a tree to become like something you can enjoy the shade of. It's a process. Yeah, it took me a while to get aligned with that, but yeah, I wish I had more patience when I was younger. But I mean, you know, the crashing and sharp turns when you're young, that really still makes the experience. I don't really wish to have had a journey without all those mistakes or rushing into things or kind of learning on the way. But yeah, man, if I could give my younger self advice, it'd be to like take your time, bro. It's inevitable. Just take your time.
And we're so hard on ourselves. We like pressurize ourselves. We're not patient with ourselves. We're not gentle and kind. And I don't know if it's like you want to achieve before you reach a certain age. I don't know what you are rushing towards because life is long, bro. How's married life treating you, dog? How's your wife?
Oh, my wife is good, bro. Like, my bestie. We're enjoying. I don't know. Like we've lived together and dated for like 9 going on 10 years. So the adjustment for us is more of like a spiritual one as opposed to like we're moving in together or because we've lived together for a while. We've dated for a while. So it's more of like that spiritual transcendence where, you know, you're kind of making the commitments of marriage like a little more stronger or kind of making it more of a driving force or a foundation of how you're moving and how you operate. And it's been a beautiful experience, bro, on that.
What's your opinion on couples cohabiting?
I'm the wrong one to talk to.
I didn't. Number one, I didn't see that reaction. Coming.
It's like throwing me under the bus. I kind of am the nigga. I don't know. Situations are different. You know, our parents have. My parents also there to adjust. They were like, I think, us. We like what generation we are. What generation Z or whatever. But we're a mixture of these cultures. So my parents, they're like, yeah, but no, man. But yeah, but no, man. Until it's like 9 years, and then they're like, we got married, and I think they were like, oh, okay, fine. They had their reservations. They were even used to, bro.
the reason why I'm asking is like, you know, in your case, and it's I don't know, man, like in your case you guys like, you know, got married after cohabiting, and in my past, like, I didn't even get married to that person. I got married to a different person. And when my dad made it very clear that he was uncomfortable about it, like, he never visited, like, he was like, nah, I'm not gonna support this. And you know the craziest thing is, now that I'm older and I think about it, I'm like, okay, I guess I understand where he's coming from. But in the same breath, with the today's young adults, the way the world is set up, if you don't partner together from an early age, it becomes like so hard on achieving a lot, because it's generally hard to do things by yourself. You know what I mean? And you want to live in a certain area. You want to, you know, be with your person whenever without the rules, because, you know, like, home is far. So it's an interesting take, man. And I think maybe as a generation, we need to just have a microscope and on it. I don't know.
No, see, that's such an open way of looking at it. I really respect that way, because it's looking at the context of the present, because a lot of these cultures or rules, let me say, these structures that we find, we never interrogate them into like our current context, because what you're saying is actually fact, right? Like, if you're young and black in South Africa, the class divisions are so blurred that, like, perhaps where you want to go, you can achieve with, let's say, a partner or with someone else, be it a boy or be it a girl or whatever. It's a smart thing to do, to say, look, man, we love each other, we're dating, why don't we, instead of you getting your own place and me getting my own place, just be smart about this. You know, just both of us to survive in Johannesburg. I mean, Johannesburg, it's not like Cape Town. Johannesburg is like a fast moving place, you know, you wanna create like a certain life and get yourself in the rhythm. I think it's a smart thing for two young adults to say, yo, we're gonna live together, we're gonna split the rent, split groceries. But then our parents look at it and go, hey,
yeah,
It used to just.
It's actually economical. They're like, oh, let's repeat that line. Yeah.
Gizzy just cheated, but I'm hanging out with Bonko Khoza, and we're just, you know, reflecting on life right now. Digital is generally about life, the journey, and him and I just went on a, you know, live chat. I'm not mad at all. Bro, what's your routine like? What time do you wake up? What's the first thing you do in the morning? What's the last thing you do at night before you sleep?
So first thing in my alarm goes off at like 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I'm like, this is like my recent life, being on the break.
Mm-hmm.
It goes off at 5:30, I wake up, I read the Bible, I kind of lay in bed, meditate, think about things. Head to the gym, you know, normally I head to the gym around 6:30, get it in for like an hour or so, come back. If I have appointments or work to do, I'll do that. Do some work before the middle of the day. I'm often like, recently I found myself meeting people and going to places and kind of keeping busy. So I'll probably be out during the day, do all of that. Maybe I've got a voiceover in the morning, or I've got a voice sometime in the day, either at home or in the studio, I'll do that. And then get back home and watch stuff. Like I'm really making it a point to consume stuff because we've been working for so long, you know. I'm kind of like catch up on like, the, you know, I just got Disney Plus 2 days ago. Some good films, good series, and spending time with like my family and my wife. The shooting schedule for the series that we're shooting is insane. You'd spend a good 15, 16 hours on set or away from home. So I just try to spend time and recalibrate before we go back in again.
I really like that. And how are you finding the voiceover world? Your voice is a tool that's used to communicate brands. Identity, vision, and it, sometimes because it's your voice, it might also be likened to you, that brand. If someone picks up, it's like, oh no, that's Bonko's voice, bro. And now you hear, it's like, oh damn, and now you are buying this thing because of your voice. So when you are used by brands to do voiceover work, like, where does that put you? And do you also look at it similar to acting, playing different roles, or is it just, I got to collect a check. God gave me a voice. Let's use it.
I come from a hustle economy, Doug. So
yes,
the fame or whatever we want to call this time now, we was about the checks. And also, before going into the voice space, I had a team that, like, people listen and make those heavy associations, like, oh, he is this guy. But I mean, after a while, you do a bunch of voices, and then people just recognize your voice, and they're like, oh, you did this ad. Now, I've done a bunch of banks. I've done every bank in the country. I've done a bunch of retail people, all simultaneously, you know. So I don't know if in the voice space it works that way, whereas where it's like, you know, on screen, if you're a villain, it would be hard for you to be seen as a good guy. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, who's in the industry, and he's like, he gets annoyed when he sees his favorite actor, because we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's so hooked on the Game of Thrones characters and the ensemble and how they are, and like, it's tough for him to see those actors play other characters. And I was like, it's a true thing, really, you know. Because people, when they hear me talk English or see me play another character, they're just like, hey, when's that new character? You know. So it happens, bro. It's a very interesting thing. But no, in the voice space, where you play it, though, because there's one association, which is your voice, which you can change a million times.
Yeah.
But with your face, you've got that one face, and you remember it.
So, and since I have you on that line and you touched on the voice thing, so like I said, I was out in Khayelitsha and this guy's like, bro, I want to get into the voiceover game. I want to put out my voice out there in the world. To someone listening, they want to get their voice heard. They can read well. They can command a language, whatever language you throw at them, by a Shire veil. How would you say they can get their foot into the game?
Okay, so the traditional way has been to get an agent, like representations. An agent, for everyone who doesn't know, right? So an agent is the person who gets you jobs, who basically goes out, either facilitates booking for you, if people want you, they get you through the agent, or if sometimes the agent will be marketing your voice to different clients and then, you know, you get the job. But that's the traditional way, and I still recommend people to go for those. But our own life, Smash, bro, in my short time of being in the game, in the voice of the game, so much has changed, bro. Like, the agency that I have joined started opening up, like, an influencer division to handle, like, one of their clients on TikTok, because the game's kind of wide open. If you follow the voice over hashtag on TikTok, I think it's sitting on, like, billions, dude. You know, so there's so much more avenues of getting in the game or getting your voice out there. But now the question then becomes, how can you make money from it? Because if people, well, I feel like even with acting, like I always catch people that like, you don't want to act, you want to be seen, you want fame, or you want like screen time. And you can get that on Instagram, right? You can literally flip the camera to yourself and 100 people will watch you. So like, how do you make a living off this thing? With voiceovers, it's just about getting into the network and making yourself available as that, and saying that you offer the service, use all these social media platforms as kind of like a marketing tool, Instagram, TikTok mostly. I think TikTok is like, it's a whole other world. That thing's going to take over. There's voiceover challenges. There's, you know, I think use social media smart, but simultaneously try to get yourself an agent. I think those are the two best ways to tap into the game.
I really love that. So after being nominated multiple times, the SAFTAs are around the corner. What's your take on award shows and nominations and winning and accolades?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, tell me now.
I think award shows for the longest time haven't jaded in a sense, you know, like the people that are being celebrated, the industry that's being celebrated are not the people being acknowledged on the night. So the night award shows are structured where it's like there's musicians and there's this, all this other entertainment, and then the thing that we're actually there for is like small little snippets, you know, for me, for the longest time, has always bothered me. Like, it's the film and TV awards, and then you have like 2 seconds of a guy coming and saying, okay, these are your favorite actors. And then there's a singer, and then there's this, and there's entertainment. Like, I don't know. It becomes a bit tricky. But I think platforms like the DMVCA, where it's like Viewer's Choice Awards, those really mean a lot, because, I mean, it becomes like a audience and performer or entertainer transaction. Which is meaningful for both the audience and us, where we're like, we're getting feedback straight from you. And the rest, you know, all these other awards, they're cool, man. Like, I don't think any actor should base or try to chase those things. They're great if you get them. But to be able to tell the story, like we said in the beginning, my dude, like, to be an industry that survives a pandemic, not only survives it, but helps people through a pandemic, that's already, bro, like, that's the biggest win, you know. You get to be there for people every Thursday or whenever, like, you know, every day at 6 o'clock, you know, we connect with people and we help them escape, or we tell these stories that people identify with and change lives. Like, that's the biggest blessing. But as for awards, yeah, they're great, dude.
I love that.
I'm a bit too worried about it, but I appreciate them.
But I like also how you've given perspective, you know? You didn't just, oh, I'm not for them, and that's that, or I'm for them. Like, you've thought about it, because you've seen them, and you've experienced them, and you're like, hey, the people you are there to celebrate, celebrate. Let them not be the cherry on top, and the cake is about something else. You know what I mean? So I totally get you. Bro, yeah, thank you so much for the conversation. I just want you to think about what the future looks like, and let us know what it looks like. Are we part of it? And yeah, tell us about the future. What's your future looking like, bro?
One day at a time, Smash.
Oh, yes.
Really. Like, I come from, like, a place where things were, I wouldn't say slow, but they were different. And they were coming at a place, obviously, that God felt that I was prepared to handle. And right now things are looking a lot more busier, a lot more dynamic, which then tells me about how much I'm prepared to handle now, like how much more I've grown and what I'm more capable of doing now as opposed to back then. So I'm excited, bro. Like, there's projects coming out. I got a project coming out in June 16 on Netflix called Collision.
Nice.
We're heading back to shoot season 3 in a bit. And yeah, dude, I'm working on a Disney animation as well. Like, it's all really exciting, dog. So, the more busy you are, what's the saying? With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes. Amen to that. Yes, amen to that. I appreciate you, bro. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your pearls of wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing your truth and your story.